This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
Hello, folks. April 25th is here on your calendars, and that means This Day in History is here on your podcast download. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for downloading us. Tony Hubert here, Armand Kachigian, as we're brought to you by Amazon.com and Audible.com. This Day in History, part of lineupmedia.fm. The events, the births, the deaths, everything you'd want to know about April 25th. Armand, as you know, we strive for exactitude.
Oh, you know, hold on a second.
So before we start, I'm going to tell you a couple things, but Armand will grab his house cleaning notes, as I like to call them. Coming up on the program today, we span all the way, 775, the year 775 to, 2007 in events. An early one for us. Rarely do we go earlier than, let's say 1500. And, someone died today that I got a real question about, because I'm not sure how they actually died, or if they're dead, or if we should count them as dead. So there you have it. Hey, don't forget, whenever we have a book recommendation, or, as Armand will, a film recommendation, which is often, go to thisdayinhistorypodcast.com, click on the Amazon banner, and go check out what we recommend. We will not steer you wrong when it comes to book or film. Trust us. Okay, Armand, in our endeavor for exacting correctness, we do house cleaning to start. What do we have from April the 24th that we need to clean
up? Well, Annie Oakley shot the cigarette out of Kaiser Wilhelm II's mouth.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Hold. Now, on this, a day ago.
Not on that date, but we were talking about these tricks she would do.
Well, she got
signed.
I knew
it was some king, but
yesterday,
I guess it was Kaiser.
April 24th, she got signed with Buffalo Bill. Or is it Wild Bill Cody's? Yeah. The Wild West show that toured over in Europe to great acclaim. And, shot it right out of the Kaiser's mouth, huh?
Little Miss Sure Shot.
Damn.
You know, by the way, why they call like a ticket an Annie Oakley? You know, like you get a ticket to a ball game or something, you get the Annie Oakleys.
Yeah, why?
Because she used to shoot playing cards and put like two holes in them.
Oh, she'd shoot the diamond or the spade.
So it looks like those two holes, you know, when they
punch your...
Yeah, now, of course, these are laser, so...
When they punch your ducat.
Yeah, they don't do anything.
Or billetto if you're...
You're
French.
Yeah, billet.
Billet.
For you who
Billetto if you're...
If you're from Clinton County.
Yeah.
All right. That was the Solway conference we were talking about, the picture with all the physicists. We're going to be discussing it today, by the way.
No.
That was that famous picture.
The greatest potential meeting of the minds in the history of humankind.
Yeah, 1927, Brussels. It was the Solway conference.
So you were saying Copenhagen, but it was actually Brussels. Right. So Belgium, you're close.
Same continent.
Well, no, same neighborhood, Northern Europe.
I was right about William III. He did die. His horse tripped over a molehill.
Damn.
Which broke his neck. So that was it.
That is not the best way to go.
Yeah. Well, at that, in the Middle Ages or in the 17th century.
A molehill.
I guess he lived at 1702, I think he died. So.
A molehill.
What's the difference?
I know. I'd rather have an arrow right through the eye.
Okay, well, it's the only way for a warrior to go. They'll carry you out on your shield.
Yep.
Tholins, though we were talking about, I think I called them thiolins or whatever. Those are the basic building blocks of life that you find in these, you know, these... little
extrasolar planets?
Yeah, or moons.
You were saying like you would find these on Io, perhaps.
Io, Europa.
Europa?
Europa and Enceladus.
What about Titan, the Saturn moon? Would you find these?
Probably not, maybe, but that's full of methane. I mean, you probably find Tholins, but I don't know how they live in.
Gotcha.
They're lakes of methane. Although it does have an atmosphere. The Kardashev scale is what we were discussing.
That's the one. Now, this is the one I was talking about where you
advanced
keep
civilizations.
Advanced civilizations, and there's three tiers to the Kardashev scale.
Right. Uses and stores energy from the planet's sun. Number two on the scale is uses the total energy of the star. Okay. And number three can control energy on a scale of a whole galaxy, which we were pretty close on those.
We were pretty close.
Yes. And then, of course, Robinson Crusoe was based on Alexander Selkirk, who I probably mentioned again today.
Now, is that the Selkirk that is the Selkirk auction houses of
I doubt.
Pretty good fame?
No, he was the guy that was marooned on an island at his own request. I don't know if he has anything to do with auction houses.
No, yeah. He wouldn't have.
Frank Hertz experiment.
Yeah.
And we'll mention Hertz today again, too. Yeah, that was quantum mechanics, and that's, I guess I forgot what atom he used, but they shot some atoms through a cloud chamber with mercury, and it lost a certain, basically, here's quantum physics in a nutshell for putzes like us that don't know what quantum physics is. Say you're sliding down you're going from floor two to floor one.
I'm going from floor two to floor one.
You don't slide. I mean, basically, what happened was when these electrons collided with the mercury atoms, they only lost certain quanta of energy. In other words, they didn't just slide down like a gradient where they, no matter where they hit or how fast they were going, they always lost the same amount of energy, which means you can't slide down at a constant rate. You go down like a staircase where you take a step. Now do you understand? And that's because these things release energy in quanta.
So you're just saying you take so many micro.
It's always like what?
Scopic steps.
Right.
It's almost like watching a roll of film.
And that kind of said that these electrons are in orbits. They can't be just anywhere. They've got to be in a certain place around the
nucleus.
Right. Although now we know it's a cloud anyway. So they're nowhere. It's just basically a probability.
Yeah.
That's the Schrodinger equation.
They're nowhere and everywhere.
Right. It's a cloud. It's a probability thing.
All right.
But anyway, that was a seminal work or experiment in quantum mechanics.
There you have it. There's our house cleaning for April the 24th. Now to the events of April the 25th. We spoke about the Armenian genocide yesterday, and I open up with an Armenian story here today
another tragedy.
I am unfamiliar with, and I'm hoping you can enlighten me. The Battle of Bagravand?
Bagravand.
Yeah. This ends what is an Armenian rebellion against the Abbasid Caliphate.
Yeah, I've heard of it, but it's nothing like April 24th where have ceremonies.
Exactly.
It's a very somber day. I don't know. This looks like a pretty bad one, too.
But keep in mind, Armenia is the first Christian nation on the face of the earth.
That's right.
Don't let it be. Don't let it fool you when you hear that Rome or the Papal States are. Constantine converted the Roman Empire to Christianity.
That's
Armenia adopted Christianity as a state religion before that.
Correct.
Okay. So you literally do have Christians against Muslims here. Now, the Muslims have taken control over a region called Transcaucasia.
Caucasia. Caucasus.
These are the Caucasus, as we know them today?
Yeah, that area, yeah.
Okay. And they solidify.
Which is where we get Caucasian.
It's where we get Caucasian from, right. They solidify their control, and Islamization really begins, and several major Armenian families lose
They already invaded. I think they already took over. It was a revolt, and it didn't work, just like we're going to get to another one today.
These Armenian families lose their power, and the remnants of these families flee to the Byzantine Empire.
Right. Okay. Yep.
That happened in 775. That's not long after the Prophet Muhammad was on the earth.
Yeah, well, this is when the Muslims were on the march.
Wow.
I mean, this is 400 or 500 years of these guys. You know, they're extending into North Africa. They're extending into Spain. They're going every which way. You know, hell, the 1500s, they were going into Europe, almost took it over. So this was part of the Muslim expansion, which we're experiencing a renaissance right now.
The 80 Years' War occurs in 1607. The Dutch fleet destroys the anchored Spanish fleet at Gibraltar.
Yeah, of course. They attack. Jacob van Heerschurk.
Now, that's a nice Dutch name.
Yeah, admiral, and he got killed. A cannonball blew his head off, blew his leg off, actually. Oh. But they sunk about the whole Spanish fleet. This is, the Spanish really, they went downhill. Now, Spain is fighting for
Has any country ever lost more ships than the Spanish?
Yeah, well, they haven't built many more. Not many countries have built
many
ships.
True.
But this was a battle. Dutch are trying to get their independence and being helped out, by the French and the English, because they're trying to get their independence from Spain and Philip II.
How long was the 80 Years' War?
Right on the money, I think.
Oh, good.
They incorporated part of the 30 Years' War in it. So,
and the 110 Years' War just didn't have any ring to it.
No, no, it was part of it, engulfed in that. So,
oh, okay.
50 plus 30. So, I think
it's 80.
Right on the money, yeah.
All right, good, good. I don't have to worry about that one then.
It wasn't really over. I mean, the treaty that ended it was, I should know that. I'm going to have to look that up.
You look it up. 1792, Armand, we have the first person ever to be executed by guillotine.
Good way to do it. Hey, did you see they executed those two guys in Arkansas?
I did.
Good. They deserved it.
Yep. And your new Supreme Court Justice, Gorsuch. He basically said fry him.
I'm for it.
Was death by
I'd rather have the guillotine.
Lethal injection. Would you really?
Yeah.
You contemplate things like how you would like to be executed.
No, that's an easy one. That's instant. I mean, the lethal injection takes like 30 minutes.
Well, then you have contemplated it. Can I overeat myself to death? Would that be?
Yeah. I'll starve myself.
No. I want to go out just
with a busted belly, William Jennings Bryan.
Like when they fed everyone rice and then made them drink hot water.
Or like the Romans. Remember in Caligula? You see Caligula? I was watching it the other day where he just kept giving him, I guess the soldier was drunk and he just kept, they tied him off, where you go pee-pee.
Yeah.
And then they just kept putting, wineskins down him and then finally just stabbed him.
Oh.
Yeah, unplugged him. I don't think I'd want to go that way.
Well, anyway.
Well, I wasn't feeling much.
The gentleman who was guillotined in 1792 was a highwayman known as Nicholas J. Pelletier.
That may be excessive. Pelletier, I guess.
Pelletier?
He's Frenchman, yeah.
No R?
Well, you don't pronounce it.
Okay, Pelletier.
Yeah. Just like guillotine, you don't pronounce the L's, technically.
Guillotine.
Yeah.
All right,
and
seven.
Here, like, it's not, this song is not Le Marcellus. The Marseillaise.
No, it's not.
I have an uneasy feeling that we're going to hear some of this.
An uneasy? What do you mean uneasy? First of all, in 1792, very same date as the guillotine. The very same day, Armand. The French decide to compose, and it's composed by Claude Joseph Roger de Lille.
De Lille, yeah.
Okay? And it is Les Marseillais. And here is our favorite. Here is Armand and I's favorite version of Les Marseillais. Out singing the Germans.
All right.
Isn't there a story behind this scene in Casablanca? Like it got really emotional.
The French were actually, they really were. But Paul Henri, he was French. Yeah. They put their hearts into it. I don't think Bogey gave a damn, really.
Yeah. Bergman seems to be nonplussed.
Sweden was neutral, of course.
She's looking at Victor Laszlo here like, I'm going to do nasty things to you.
What a guy. That two-timer. That's when the lines could close the place. It'll take
too long. I don't know if they have it on here.
This is when I'm shocked. I'm shocked at gambling. He needs an excuse to shut.
He's walking over.
Yeah, everyone's having such a good time.
Oh, the clip ends.
Yeah, well, that's what Conrad Veidt tells Claude Rains to close the place. Everybody's having such a good time. Yes, too good of a time.
Best national anthem in
that's
the world.
That's pretty good.
It's up there, right?
But a couple things about that. That first of all, the name of it is not Le Marseillaise. When de Lille wrote it, it was the war song of the Army of the Rhine. Is actually what he was writing.
The war song of the Army of the Rhine. So it was sort of like
it was a marching song.
Sort of like our Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Yeah, it was a martial song, which is okay for an anthem. But they call it Le Marseillaise because when these people from Marseille marched on France during the revolution. They were humming it or singing it or whatever. That's why it got its name. And it wasn't always the anthem. Napoleon I didn't use it as the anthem. And I think Napoleon III didn't either. It only was adopted after they got their butts kicked by the Germans in 1870. I think 1879.
Oh, that butt kicking.
Oh, yeah. That was
because I thought maybe they adopted it after Casablanca.
Oh, no. They was Sedan.
All right.
We were talking about
that. Yes, we did.
Louis Napoleon got captured and everything.
1846, we've got an affair. We know we don't have enough affairs anymore, Armand.
Yeah, we just...
You might. I don't. I have none.
I don't either.
We have the Thornton Affair, which is the dispute between Texas and Mexico. And, of course, when you have an affair and it's at a border, it triggers a war. And that's what you have. The Mexican-American War starts this date, April 25th, 1846.
I'm still ambivalent about that war.
Ambivalent?
Ambivalent.
No, you be ambivalent while I'll be ambivalent.
Okay.
1847, the last survivors of the Donner Party.
Boy, this was a mess from the beginning.
They come out of the wilderness.
Yeah, this didn't happen. This wasn't, I mean.
Could you? That's all I'm going to
They took a shortcut. Not a good idea, you know, and they didn't know where they were going. They went across Utah instead of going up north.
Ugh.
And they hit the Wasatch Mountains, which slowed them down. And then everything went wrong for these people, unfortunately. And then they got caught in the Sierra Nevadas. And, well, the rest is history. And cannibalism, et cetera. Although there were... No evidence of necrophilia, thank God.
I don't know why you needed to bring that up.
Well, just for our more perverse listeners.
Because if there was any evidence, the evidence would have been
cold.
The evidence would have been consumed anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
1859, the Suez Canal. Ground broke on the Suez Canal.
Yeah, this was an easy one. I mean, Goethals, no problem. But when he took on the Panama Canal, it's just too much for the French.
Yeah, different... moving sand's one thing. Moving dirt.
I'm going to call an upset. I'm going to call Le Pen wins.
Really?
Yep.
Well, this just came out of the blue.
Right.
Huh?
Well, as long as we're talking about French failures.
Well, there's a lot of French history.
Let's have a French success.
Let's talk about a French failure.
Well, that was actually a success. The Suez Canal went fine.
Well, you know? I got what could be deemed a failure.
Ferdinand de Lesseps, by the way, was the guy who did
Ferdinand
this.
De Lesseps?
Yeah, Ferdinand de Lesseps, as portrayed by Tyrone Power in the movie Suez. Where he met his wife, by the way.
Well, on this date, April 25th, we've got the French and the Vietnamese clashing in Tonkin. Oh, Tonkin. Now, the commander,
this is a victory for them.
Henri Rivière, he seizes the citadel of Hanoi with a small...
Henri Rivière.
Henri...
Like the Riviera?
Rivière. Now I say the R.
Yes, there's an E on the
end. Oh, I see that. Well, they seize Hanoi, a small force of Marine infantry. Now, you may be thinking this is sometime in the late 40s, early 50s. No, this is 1882.
No, this is when they're taking French Indochina. This is their conquest.
1882.
Right. This is the period of the rise of the French. They still haven't.
That's the Tonkin campaign, to be confused with the Gulf of Tonkin resolution.
Yeah.
Which
was phony. Well, which was predicated on a phony.
Which even weirder is that the lead singer of The Doors, Jim Morrison, his father.
Told everybody that.
Yep.
Admiral Morrison.
Admiral Morrison, part of that.
Yeah,
part of that deal.
I believe,
1898, the U.S. declares war on Spain. But they say, we're not going to Spain. We're only going to go south of Florida a little bit.
We're going to
Cuba.
In
the Philippines.
And then we're going to take as much land and as we can. But this here again, this is the age of the imperialists. And we're just getting on the bandwagon here. And we got Hearst in on this when he's not getting... I guess he was fighting his...
William Randolph?
His Annie Oakley suit.
Now, was this the one where he wanted a war for the papers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yellow Press. I remember the main stuff was all him.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, he ginned it up, man.
Yeah.
I kind of laugh when people go, the media today.
Yeah, as if that's...
Yeah, why don't you go read a newspaper from 1800, 1850, 1860, or 1900?
Well,
vile, vitriol. Come on.
Purple press.
It's always been there.
Yellow journalism.
Always been there. 1901, the state of New York, Armand, introduces a regulation.
Yeah, good idea.
The first state in the Union... In 1901, to require license plates on automobiles.
Were they free?
No. Of course not.
Dollar fee.
A dollar?
Yeah.
That's 1901. That's
a pretty good bite in the ass.
Cheap.
That's
not
cheap.
That's not cheap.
Yeah, these guys will never miss out on a tax.
How many cars could they have licensed in 1901?
It's a start. They saw it coming.
They saw that someone had foresight. Yeah. We better get ahead of this now.
Right.
Did you have to license a horse?
Yeah, that's what they didn't rescind the horse.
Did a carriage need a license?
I guess New York was full. I mean, the streets were full of horse shit,
Totally. It was pathetic.
Yeah.
Any big city, you couldn't cross the street without stepping in a road apple.
They weren't apples.
Well, that's what they're called.
Yeah, I know, but they
Did your grandfather ever tell you to go pick some road apples?
No.
Oh, yeah. That's what my grandfather would say if he was pissed at you. Why don't you go out and pick some road apples?
Go juggle some mountain oysters. I just made that up. That's my grandfather didn't say that.
That's a good, sounds like something.
You can tell your grandkids that one.
Sounds like something. Yes. 1915, the Battle of Gallipoli begins.
Now this is a British beating.
Well, this is a Winston Churchill derived.
This is his idea.
This is his idea. It goes grossly wrong. The invasion of the Turkish Gallipoli Peninsula by not just the British, but the French, Indian, Newfoundland, Australian, and New Zealand.
Yeah, remember, there's a movie called Gallipoli. It's very good.
It's about 82, 83.
Yeah, it was Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson.
He was really young in it.
Yeah.
Boy, they had that. Was it Wilfred Owen? That mosquito bite, I think, killed him. Malaria or whatever.
Right.
A couple of those. I think it was Wilfred Owen died, you know.
But
the poet.
And as a result of the, you know, Gallipoli not going well, and the naval passage when they try to go through the straits.
Right.
Churchill winds up losing the admiralty over it. Takes him 15 to 20 years
now,
regain his.
Now, apparently, that wasn't his idea. He was just trying to run the straits.
Yeah, he's trying to run the straits.
Yeah, but I don't think he wanted to invade, apparently.
He just wanted to get into the Black Sea?
I guess, which was a bad idea anyway, because they just fired at will at all those, those dreadnoughts that were going through. So that never worked. But I don't think, from what I've read, that he really didn't endorse the actual landings.
But he had to,
save face, I guess. I don't know what it was a screw up from the whole.
But he took the fall.
Yeah,
he fell on the sword.
New Zealanders and Australians took more falls.
And I believe the movie Gallipoli that you referred to, that's an Australian production.
Yeah. And they have, they have their memorial. Like Vimy Ridge is a big Canadian memorial. This is the big one for the Anzacs, they called it.
Yeah, well, the landing at
took the brunt of the
at Anzac Cove and Cape Helles, Greek Cape.
Right. And this is actually where Ataturk made his bones.
No kidding.
Yeah, he was like a hero of the Turk. Yeah, this guy was unbelievably brave, apparently. And they say, hey, this guy's got his shit together. And, of course, he took over Turkey. He was the president.
President.
And he turned it from a Muslim country
into a secular.
Well, secular. But now they're going back the other way with this Erdogan.
No, I know.
But anyway.
Yeah, so that's the first leader coming out of coming out of Turkey as the Ottoman Empire.
Yeah, Kemal Ataturk.
All right. 1916 in Ireland, martial law declared by the United Kingdom over the Irish.
This was a bad scheduling, too. This was kind of a screw-up. You know, apparently the Germans were supposed to outfit them with arms and everything, but the ships they were sent, or at least one ship, was captured by the British. And they didn't get their scheduling correct. I don't know. Apparently word didn't get out when the real rising would be. So they only, amassed, 1,600 guys against 19,000 British, which I don't know how the hell they could spare them from the Western Front at this time. But anyway, James Connolly, Pat Pierce, we were talking about all this. Connolly apparently was so wounded so bad they had to carry him to his execution on a stretcher.
Oh, God.
And that reminds me, I guess, I wonder if that was the inspiration.
Carried to his execution on a stretcher?
Yeah. Didn't you see Paths of Glory?
Yeah.
It's the same thing with the little guy.
That's the guy they shot. Kirk Douglas?
Right.
1915. That's a Kubrick film, isn't
57.
It?
57. That's why
57.
That's why he hired Kubrick for. He fired Anthony Mann and hired Kubrick for Spartacus.
Gotcha.
They didn't get along real well on that.
But okay.
Anyway, the guy. Remember, they was on a stretcher and they had to prop him up. Yeah.
Yep. I have not watched Paths of Glory. I've had for 20
movie.
Years.
It's my favorite Kubrick.
There was a one time where I went through all Kubrick's films. I even sat through a lot of Barry Lyndon.
That's a rough go.
Exactly.
Dr. Strangelove is great.
Oh, that's high art.
Clockwork Orange has got its points.
It does. But, and Full Metal Jacket is can't miss all the way through.
But Paths of Glory is my favorite. And The Killing, if you've ever seen that one. That was
the first one. Yeah. So, but if you go through, the early Kubrick stuff, The Killing, Paths of Glory, Lolita, Strangelove. If you just watch those four, folks.
That's pretty good. You really can't go wrong.
That's more than solid.
Very fine oeuvre.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then it's Joseph Plunkett. One good thing came out of this. He got married, and then 8 hours later, they shot him.
Ugh.
So he did a Hitler on us there.
How was the honeymoon?
Yeah, I guess that's the good news. But apparently his widow, the rest of her life, wore her widow, black clothing.
She did? She pulled a Queen Victoria?
Boy, isn't that nice? Yeah.
Well, really...
Quite an honor.
It is an honor. I guess it is.
Dubious honor for the guy who's getting blown away.
No.
Well, I guess if I get married, I want to do it eight hours before before I'm executed.
We'll make sure it's short.
But I want guillotine.
I will. Armand, if I'm around, I will make sure.
I'm sure you'll pull the string.
No. I cannot be an executioner.
Martin Landau said, pull the string.
I cannot.
Pull the string.
I
Martin Landau doing Bela Lugosi. While Ed Wood watches in his cashmere sweater. Yeah, I'd love to have been on that set.
Oh, boy.
Glenn or Glenda.
Boy, does this show take some tangents, but yeah, damn it if they aren't worth it.
Are they?
No, I think they are. All right, let's. We're halfway through the events. Let's move over to the birthdays. Oh, hey, look at this. The King of France.
Yeah.
St. Louis. That is better known, Russ, as Louis the Ninth.
Yeah.
To you and me.
He's the guy on Art Hill on the horse.
He is born on the 25th of April, 1214. The city of St. Louis, Missouri, named after him. There's a beautiful statue, as you just mentioned,
yep,
in front of the St. Louis Art Museum on what is called Art Hill. Now, in the World's Fair, that's where the elephants used to start the slide down into the pond.
Oh,
yeah,
that's interesting.
It's a great statue. And the St. Louis Browns used to wear a Louis the Ninth patch sometimes on the sleeve of their uniform.
Well, that's why we have a fleur-de-lis, yeah, I guess, the city. I think he's also the patron saint or whatever, the saint of New Orleans, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's our guy and yeah, theirs, too.
Yeah.
His mother was Blanche of Castile.
That's a nice name.
I know. I like that name.
Yeah, that's a nice name. She was Spanish, huh?
Castile, sure.
Yeah,
okay. A 44-year reign. I didn't know he was that long.
Well, and he was only 58 years old when he passed away. Yeah, no, yeah, sorry, 56.
Okay, so they got a
when he passed away. So
I'm sure he had a regency.
He had a regent for at least 10 years, right?
Yeah, 44-year reign. That's pretty good. And died of plague.
Yeah, oh, the plague.
Oh, that's only the good die of plague.
1599, Cromwell, that's Oliver, yep.
Yeah.
The Lord Protector of Great Britain, born on this date, 1599.
Yeah, we've talked about this guy. You know, it's kind of amazing to me how great this guy was as a military commander when he really didn't have much experience at all. I don't know where he got. I was trying to find out where he got his experience. I can't find it. I don't know. He's even in the army. But they made him, you know, they made him the commander of the new army. And new model army, I believe they called it. And he won like Marston Moor, Naseby. These are big battles.
Well, he put some wins up on the board.
But I'll tell you what, you want to talk about hatred. The Irish hate him more than probably anybody. He invaded Ireland.
Kidding.
Oh, yeah. He hated Catholics. He was a Puritan. He went over there and kicked some ass.
Oh.
And the Irish can't stand this guy. And then he went up to Scotland and pretty much did a number on them, too. So he got share of bloodlust.
One little group of islands, man.
Oh, man.
They're at each other's necks. Why?
Well,
it's all good. You got a nice place. It's green. You got plenty of rain.
You got to.
It's never too hot. It's never really too
Catholics
cold.
Catholics and Protestants. That's why.
Oh, jeez.
But he allowed the Jews to come back after 400 years.
Yeah, that's right.
So
he ended the Jewish. He ended the Jewish ban.
And then they buried him in Westminster Abbey. And then when Charles II came back, they dug him up and hanged him and cut his head off and all kinds of desecrated his body.
Yeah, as they like to
and
do.
And his legacy.
1908, Edward R. Murrow. Happy birthday, Ed. Great American journalist.
What's his middle name? R. Oh, boy.
Did the reports Rudolph? During the Blitz of London.
This is London. Yeah, that's how he'd always start. Yeah. What was his middle name? Rudolph, I think.
Would you like me to look it up on the little Google machine?
It's yeah, all right.
Anyway, okay. 1909, William Pereira, the American architect.
I know this guy, but I like his building.
I do, too. That's why I left him on the list today. He designed, building of note, amongst other things, the Transamerica Pyramid in San Francisco, which is a beautiful building. First of all, San Francisco is a beautiful area. Their skyline's really nice. The Transamerica Pyramid, when I was younger, used to be a lot more distinctive, but so many high-rises have gone up in San Francisco.
Yeah, it's kind
that of... You can't see it from everywhere anymore.
When did he put that up? Because I don't remember.
Oh, early 70s.
Yeah, because I don't remember.
Went up about the same
bullet. I don't remember.
No, early 70s. It went up about the same time as the World Trade Center.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's an exoskeleton building, but its architecture is really unique.
Great. I love that building.
Really pretty to look at.
I got a picture of me and my buddy in front of it.
In front of it?
I look great.
You look great? How's the building look?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. You forgot 1900, Wolfgang Pauli, and this is the one he was there at that Selway conference.
Oh, okay, in Brussels.
Yeah, and everybody's heard of the Pauli exclusion principle. Apparently there are four quantum numbers, and they have no fermions, which of course are half-integer spin fermions. Half-integer spin subatomic particles can occupy the same four quantum numbers, i.e. having the same spin, having the same momentum, having the same Q number and all these things. I don't know what any of those things mean except the momentum, I guess.
I'm getting
spin.
A headache.
And it's really a spin. That's just a name for something else.
This is another a no-spin property. Zone. Now yeah. that O'Reilly's out of a job, we have to be the no-spin zone.
Starting up again. Anyway, he's got... this guy was pretty rough on. He was very. He's a perfectionist on his students and everybody, and he was always noted to say, you know, the worst thing he could say about your paper would be, and this is what he would say undoubtedly about global warming: it is not even wrong. He says he didn't mind if you came up with a clearly thought out hypothesis and it was wrong. He would just say, you know, it's wrong. But if he said it's not even wrong, that means it just you haven't even
made your methodology you and even framing.
Of, this isn't a clear argument. This right. isn't even this isn't even a theory.
I get that. I get that, Armand. I also
unclear and untestable.
I like that.
Like global warming.
I like that because look, we've been around each other a couple of years now. And you know me.
Yes, we can't stand each other.
I think a lot of arguments are framed so poorly, and you do too.
That, see, I think that argument's framed poorly.
Yeah. Well, you.
See?
Ironic.
It's not even wrong.
That, you know, one of the problems that we modern society faces is, you know, the sort of the lack of scientific method in our thinking to get.
Don't get me started. You know where this is going.
To get the argument or the hypothesis framed and presented correctly.
Well, here's the problem. I think, first of all, they don't teach logic anymore.
Exactly.
Okay. Nobody
I got to tell you, Armand. One, my favorite course in college. If you'd ask me what I learned,
I learned it.
In college, the two things I would say out of what, 120 hours? Two courses, philosophy, logic.
Ugh, well, you can get rid of philosophy.
No, that's, I loved it because in philosophy, we covered a lot of logic things and it was wonderful.
Right.
I felt I really learned to think much better after completing.
Really?
Yes.
I haven't noticed.
Yes. You should. You don't listen. See, that's one of your problems. You listen to respond, not to hear.
Ooh, that is a scathing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What a statement. Anyway, a couple more things. What was that?
That was me. I touched the little cord.
Wolfgang Pauli.
Yeah.
Apparently, and I don't think this was at the Solway Conference. Apparently, you know, these guys, you know, they're a bunch of physicists together. So the conversation, of course, turned to religion and science. And apparently Paul Dirac went really crazy on how, you know, never introduce God into anything. And, you know, that's kind of a cop out and how religion has no place in science and vice versa, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And then after listening to this long, long scree from Paul Dirac.
Yes.
Paulie said, apparently, according to there's a religion of Paul Dirac. And it is that God does not exist, and Paul Dirac is his prophet.
I like that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's a great statement. Like of course, that brought down, even Dirac had to laugh at that one. So this guy's actually pretty, you know, they just don't coin him like that anymore.
That's good.
So that's Wolfgang Pauli.
1920.
Another scientist, Guglielmi Marconi. I don't know how you miss this guy, 1874. Although he did not discover radio waves. Those were our old friend Heinrich Hertz.
Hertz.
The same guy as a Hertz Frank. Mm-hmm. That fame.
H-E-R-T-Z.
Not the
rental car.
We're correct. Thank you. Was he the one O.J. O.J.
ran for Hertz.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, now he's running from other things.
No, he's going to get out soon.
Is he really?
Yeah, his parole's coming up.
Good for him. Well, no. Good. He's eaten away by rheumatoid arthritis.
No, he has CTE, the chronic trefoil.
CTE.
Yeah, yeah. They haven't diagnosed it, but it's clear.
Oh, you have?
No, I haven't.
What are you, a rheumatologist?
No, he's childlike now.
Oh, well.
This is coming from attorneys and people who are on his side of the fence.
Second childishness.
Yeah.
As You Like It.
It's what the NFL players
suffer. Sans teeth, sans eyes, sans everything.
It's what the NFL players suffer from.
Oh, that one, yeah.
CTE.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I got to watch that movie, by the way.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's very good.
This guy is, I like that this guy won a Nobel Prize in physics, and he's not a theoretical physicist. He won it for being an inventor and an entrepreneur.
Well, that's cool.
I'm all for it. You know, before this, it was always guys like Pauli who's like,
right,
you know, he's thinking about things he didn't even know. And Einstein.
Submit your white paper, and
this guy actually did something, and he made the wireless, and then in his room when he was a kid.
Well, that's even better.
Oh yeah, this guy was some genius.
Because you know, there's a girl next door that he's trying to reach.
Huh?
There's a girl or something next door that he's trying to reach.
Well, you know me. I'd probably just break through the wall. And,
well, yeah, but
I wouldn't make a wire. I wouldn't go to all that trouble.
I mean, you invent
first
the wireless.
All, get, I'd invent binoculars.
And, get her a receiver.
And peeping Tom.
I'd be
out on the ledge. Anyway, this guy's at the Treaty of Versailles.
Good grief.
Yeah, he tried to convince Woodwell. This is not his. He wasn't exactly noble about this. He was trying to convince Woodrow Wilson, hey, I'm Italian.
Yes.
We won this war. We kicked Austria's butt. Yes. We should get Austria. And, of course, Wilson, you know, one of his 14 points is none of the winners are going to take any land from any of the losers. right, Woody.
What's the point of fighting
Tommy,
a war?
Really. His real name was Tom. Anyway, that Woodrow said, get away from me, son. And so and he supported Mussolini, so he kind of tainted himself.
Ooh.
He's kind of a fascist.
Fascism
was
really
very popular. This is in the 20s.
Right.
He wasn't really for, I don't think, Mussolini and Hitler getting together, which is 20 years later.
Yeah.
But 23, when Mussolini took power, they were pretty good buddies. In fact, I think Mussolini, I don't think it was a myth that he was at his wedding or best man, but he sent him a nice telegram.
That's funny because Mussolini's coming up on this day in history.
The guy's very polite.
Yeah. Other birthdays. Meadowlark Women, Harlem Globetrotters fame, born in 1932. And
talented.
One of my favorite actors. Let's see what I got here from him. One of my favorite actors, born on this date, 1940.
I didn't even notice.
1940.
Wow, he's getting old.
He is. And here's one of his classic lines.
Say hello to my new friend.
No.
Okay.
All right.
You're fucking with me. I told him about that. You fucking with me! You fucking with me,
man! See, you picked the wrong one again.
Did I?
Attica! 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 What's the matter with you? All right. Anyway, his great performance, I suppose he's a really good Shylock. Did you see that movie where he plays Shylock?
Will you get back
what
over
are you
there?
Over in there for?
Will you What's get the going? Fuck back there?
I watched Dog Day Afternoon a lot as a kid.
There.
Thank you. Hey, you know who does a great Al Pacino?
Do you think that was ad-libbed?
I think it was.
I think
the crowd was around there watching.
You're
apparently
watching the flow of that scene,
yeah,
and then all of a sudden he goes into that.
Yeah.
And you're, because, you know, like the famous line, was it Hoffman or Voight? I'm walking here.
Yeah, that was
completely
right.
Improv.
Some cab almost hit him.
Because a cab got through the cordoned off area and damn near hit Hoffman and Voight.
Ratso Rizzo. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, I think that is.
And why I like Dog Day Afternoon as a kid, I have no idea. Maybe that's why I like heist movies.
Godfather's my favorite. And then, boy, you know, he just barely made that because they wanted a lot of other guys to play that part.
Yeah.
And he got it. And then I think it was, what was the scene that really made it for him? I guess it was the scene in the diner where he blew away Sollozzo and Sterling Hayden, McCluskey.
Yeah.
But I guess they shot that and they said, this guy's our man, because they were about ready to cut him. So the hell with him. We're going to get somebody else. Coppola really fought for him.
It isn't, well, okay.
Paramount
that's good.
Didn't want him.
It's good that Coppola fought for him because, you know, Coppola would cut other leads. He'd cut Harvey Keitel in Apocalypse Now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know if he cut him or he just quit. I don't know.
No, he did. He cut.
Well, whatever.
They were looking at after a couple of weeks, they were looking at the dailies and said, we got to make a change.
Okay.
And they brought in Martin.
Well, Paramount didn't want this guy. They didn't want Pat Pacino because he was unknown.
Unknown.
He was. It was Panic in Needle Park, I think, was his only movie.
Wasn't Dog Day Afternoon 1975?
Yeah, but Godfather came in 72.
Yeah. Okay.
So unknown.
I got you. Yep.
Yeah,
I got
done anything.
You're right. He hadn't. He had it.
So he got
you. You were right.
Yeah. Well, what are you in a wormhole over there?
No, I might be.
Anyway.
Whoa. This is a good coincidence.
Yeah.
His sister from.
Yeah, you should have given that scene in Godfather 2 where she, I want to be with you now. I want to take care
Michael,
of you.
Michael.
Yeah.
Michael, let me take
because
care of you.
Because I need money. What do you come to me for?
But anyway.
You know who does, I was going to say, who does a great Al Pacino is Nick. Remember he used to be on Ocho Man?
Oh, yeah.
He used to crack me up with those Al Pacino imitations.
Well,
he was great.
Talia Shire, born on the same day as Pacino, April 25th, just 1946, 6 years later. Well, Connie.
Yeah, she
Connie
didn't,
and Michael had the
she
same
didn't
birthday.
Have anything to worry about her part. She
Who
was Coppola's sister.
Yeah, that's one way to.
Yeah, no problem there.
I don't think I'm going to get shot.
She was a sure thing. Brando, Pacino, and all those guys, and poor Jimmy. I mean, not Jimmy Caan, but De Niro didn't even get a part. Have you seen those?
What do you mean De Niro didn't get a part?
He was going for Michael.
Oh, he was. But
Sonny.
Yeah, but he got Vito.
Yeah, but the two.
Right.
I'm talking about in one.
That's fine.
They show his screen tests. He does them all.
Okay.
Yeah. They still got him somewhere.
I like to see those.
Probably on YouTube.
1947, Johan Cruyff. Great football.
Cruyff, isn't it?
Yeah, Cruyff. Okay. Great football manager, player as well, Barcelona. Yeah.
Total
and of course,
football.
Total football. With
never
the,
won the big one.
Nope.
Though.
They always finished second. Yeah. The Dutch did. Yeah. It was beautiful football. Cruyff just passed away in 2016.
Now, I guess that means these guys are taking everybody else's position. Is that how it goes? Fullback runs up to the front, no, and the other guy goes back.
Partly, Armand, but it's
okay.
more.
Explain
it's more,
it.
It's more
briefly.
Use of the entire field and stretching your opponent.
The pitch.
And yeah. You know, football can be very direct. You know, kick the ball down the middle of the field and go run after
that's
it.
That's how I play.
Right. That's not the most efficient way.
I usually kick the turf and get turf toe.
Yeah, not the most efficient way to play the sport.
Go running after podiatrists.
The Dutch would use all 10 outfield players and even the goalkeeper, as everyone does today.
Mm, attacking as, football.
Well, I mean, goalkeeper attacking, but goalie would come up, take a pass, switch the field, that kind of.
I think Admiral Van Heemskerk would have loved it.
Yeah. Also, 1964, one of the great voice artists of our day, Hank Azaria is born. Here's a little Hank doing Mo Sizlak from The Simpsons.
So, who are you guys, anyhow?
Agents Mulder and Scully, FBI.
FBI, huh? Excuse me. All right, they're on to us. Get them back to SeaWorld.
What did he say?
Get them back. Well, they got an orca in the back of Moe's bar.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, Moe's funny.
He does a lot. Like I said, though, he does Chief Wiggum.
Okay.
He does.
They've played it out a little bit, though. It's funny stuff, though.
Who else is born? Joe Buck, 1969.
Riding his dad's coattails.
He's a fine broadcaster.
Apparently, he gets around, you know?
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know.
He's cut a swath through the, you know, the courtesans.
Has
of,
he really?
St. Louis.
Oh.
Yeah. Quite a ladies' man.
Okay. I've known him since he was 17 years old.
Well, I'm sure he started early.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Don't think what?
I don't think he got started early.
Oh, really?
1969, Renee Zellweger. And 1976, probably the greatest American basketball player in the post-Jordan era, for my money, Tim Duncan.
All right. Well, I don't know anything about it, so I'll accept
what?
It.
He's tremendous.
Does he play beautiful game, total basketball?
I would say the San Antonio Spurs under Coach Greg Popovich do indeed play total basketball.
Do they bring the goaltender out, too?
They don't have a goaltender, but there is goaltending in basketball, and if you do that, the other team gets 2 points.
Listen, first of all, you know, okay. All right, I got a couple things. I got a couple things you didn't put down, so I'm going to – because you always – you always focus on the trivial.
I don't know. There's nothing trivial about it. What do you got?
Well, it's coming up. They're events coming up.
Well, here, I got one more little piece of sound I want to play for you.
Well, I guess I'm going to because, yeah, you're going all the way to 1944.
I ditched it. Anyway, United Negro College Fund, incorporated in 1944.
All right, see, now 1930, All Quiet on the Western Front premieres.
Oh, it premiered in 30?
Seminal film. Yeah.
I thought it was a 1929 film.
No, 1930. April, yeah.
Okay.
It won the Academy Award. Right. Back then, they were 1929 to 1930.
That's how they did
30
the awards.
30 to 31.
Gotcha. Okay.
The first one to actually get 1 year was
35?
It happened one night, 34.
34.
This was directed by Lewis Milestone. Pretty gory stuff if you watch it. I mean, remember the part where the guy's holding on to the barbed wire and it gets blown apart and his hands are still there. Yeah, that's because there was no production code then and they get away with that stuff.
Yeah, you could.
So it's pretty gruesome.
No one was going to look at your movie and go, yeah, you got to take that out.
No censorship. And the last shot of him like reaching out with his hand, that was Milestone's hand apparently.
Oh, really?
All the actors went home. Oh, yeah,
the director got
in. Yeah, it was the director. And then the Nazis hated this movie. This is interesting because the Nazis couldn't stand it because they thought, well, we lost the war and we don't want to see this crap. So they would unleash rats into the theater and stink bombs and everything. But ironically, the Poles banned it too because it was too pro-German. So I don't know who's. So I guess that means it's kind of right down the middle. If the Poles.
So it didn't play to the big German Polish market, which Hollywood was very sensitive about.
They made a silent version
in that time.
This was right during the transition, so there actually was a. It's on the Blu-ray version apparently that they put the silent.
Speaking of films like this. Because All Quiet on the Western Front is not a propaganda film, but I do want to mention.
It's an anti-war film.
I do want to mention. I'm watching a documentary called Five Came Back. It's in three parts, and it's about the directors Ford, Houston.
Oh, yeah, you told me about that.
Capra, Stevens.
George Stevens.
And I'm missing a guy. Who am I missing?
Wyler. Oh,
William Wyler. And the movie.
No Hawks?
No Howard Hawks. I think Howard Hawks may have had some production credits on some of the films that were done. But and we're not just talking theatrical release movies during wartime. We're actually talking about
this during the war. Yeah.
Ford goes and films the Battle of Midway.
Yeah. Well, did you say John Huston?
Houston goes and films
San Pietro. That's San a great Pietro. Move. Man, you see guys getting blown away right there in front of you.
They're in North Africa. They're in the Pacific.
Italy. Yep.
They're in Italy. And this documentary called Five Came Back it's in three parts. I'm through two parts. It's on Netflix. Yeah. Recommendation to everyone.
Capra made that whole series.
Check it out.
Why We Fight.
Now, Why that was
outright
We Fight.
Propaganda. But,
that is.
Not bad. But I like Battle of San Pietro.
He was asked by Marshall.
Yeah.
You know, to, okay, how, because they sat down and they're like, holy crap, how do we do this?
Yeah, how do we convince people we should be fighting people we shouldn't be fighting?
I mean, they had a real issue.
Nobody wanted to fight that war.
We're not making a joke about this. No. When you watch this documentary,
80% of the people in 1941 were isolated. They did not want to get involved in the war.
You realize the utter dilemma the United States government was in.
Which is, they would have really been in a dilemma, and we've talked about this over and over. Why did Hitler declare war? Had he not declared war on the United States, and Mussolini too, I don't know if we'd have fought him. Why did we? Why would we fight? They didn't attack us.
I don't know.
Okay, but anyway. Yeah, they're great. Yeah, great stuff, though.
Okay.
These guys were up front. Yeah, I mean, they were up there.
Oh, yeah.
Getting dive-bombed and strafed and shit.
Ford got hit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he got hurt.
Yeah.
At Midway. Yeah, so these guys, man. Anyway, on the Western Front, great movie.
Great movie.
If you haven't seen it,
and that's again 1930, comes out April 25th.
And another premiere, not quite the same thing, but Turandot. Premieres in
the opera?
1920. Absolutely. 1926.
Puccini?
Yes. But he died before he finished it, so it was completed by Alfano.
Have you ever seen a live production?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I've seen it with Ping Pang and Pong.
Okay.
Anyway, it was
I never have.
La Scala, I think. And the conductor, our old friend, Arturo Toscanini.
Oh, Toscanini. I was hoping it would be Leopold.
No, not Leopold. Toscanini. And, now, like the other guys, Alfano finished it, but in Act Three, Toscanini. And here the maestro put down his baton, and he didn't finish it.
Didn't finish.
Only Puccini's work was good enough for him. But anyway, now it's usually played, you know, in its entirety, the Alfano version. And Nessun Dorma is one of the favorites. Pavarotti loved it.
I got to tell you, as a kid, my mom took me to see Pavarotti. He was doing a benefit. It was a pretty expensive ticket at the time. It was a benefit for a hospital, I remember I had loved the Roland Joffe film The Killing Fields, where I think they used Nessun Dorma as a part, you know, it's a piece of the soundtrack.
All right.
And so I got to hear Pavarotti do Nessun Dorma, and it was the show closer. That was the number, the showstopper. Yeah. And then he does like five encores.
Well, the three tenors do it too. I mean, if you get those tapes in 1990.
It's fantastic. Liberation Day in Italy, April 25th, 45. So the Nazi occupation, they're gone. They surrender. They leave northern Italy. They're done. The Italian resistance movement, they're in full effect. The fascist regime, it dissolves, and Benito Mussolini, on this date, captured after trying to escape.
And his mistress, Claire Petacci, his wife, I think, got away. I think she was all right.
Good for the wife.
They hung him up by his fat feet. But, they hung him up in Milan. That's a famous picture, too.
Yeah, you know, upside down by the feet.
But what's really interesting, in 43, after Italy gave up, after they surrendered, Scorsese got him. He was under arrest, and he rescued him.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they haven't made a movie about that guy, although he's a Nazi, of course. Plus, he wanted after the war, he wanted to organize, you know, like I think they were called the Wolf Pack or something like that, these guys that wouldn't give up and keep fighting. That Scorsese was quite a dude.
Wow.
Yeah. There's got to be a movie about
fighting him. From the hills of Tuscany, huh?
Doesn't matter. You can't fight anywhere. We'll fight him on the seashore. We'll fight him in the ocean. And never surrender.
1953, Crick and Watson, the publication of Molecular Structure of Nucleic Acids, a structure for deoxyribose nucleic acid, which describes the double helix, is published. Big piece of scientific work there, Armand.
And here again, did they screw Rosalind Franklin? I think so.
I think you got to say
yes.
She
was the X-ray crystallographer that actually found this.
Yep.
But Crick and Watson. But J.D. Watson wrote a good book. I've read his book, Searching for the Double Helix, or something like the Search for the Double Helix. How much of it's true, I don't know. But yeah, and Rosalind Franklin, of course, was the X-ray crystallographer. She didn't get the Nobel Prize. Maurice Wilkins, well, actually, see, it wasn't these guys that screwed her over. It was Maurice Wilkins, who, you never trust a guy named Maurice. We talked about that.
Yeah, except Maurice Gibb.
Yeah, he's
okay.
He's all right.
He's all right.
Is he alive?
No, he's gone.
That's too bad.
And we're down to bury.
Well, you can only trust a dead man.
We're
then.
Down to bury.
Anyway, these guys found the structure of DNA, and obviously that's big, big news. But she might have gotten that, but she died of cancer, so she might have gotten a piece of that. But Wilkins actually got a Nobel Prize, too, for stealing.
The Nobel Prize for theft, a scientific accomplishment.
We got our first entrepreneur Nobel Prize and entrepreneur and Nobel Prize for
industrial espionage.
Outright larceny.
Right.
And
God. 54, another scientific demonstration of note on April 25th, the Bell Labs. They demonstrate the first practical solar cell.
That's an oxymoron. There's no such thing as a practical solar
well,
cell.
Well, we're 70 years later, Armand.
Yeah, we're still impractical.
I will say my cousin, Christopher Mowry, who lives in the high desert outside Lancaster, California, has solar cell. Mm-hmm. And he can pretty much keep himself off the grid.
Good for him. But for a large scale,
for
it's
large
not
scale,
an efficient method of,
no, I really
of energy.
I really think if you want to do solar, you have to do it.
But did he get a subsidy? That's what I object to. You want to put solar cell?
No, he bought the house with it.
Okay, but somebody got a subsidy.
At some point, Armand, I got to imagine there was a subsidy.
And you understand. That's what I don't really care. You want to put a windmill in your backyard? That's fine with me. You want to use solar?
I'll tell you what.
Excellent. But don't subsidize
I never understood how challenging living in the desert was until I visited his house. Because it's
where is he? Lancaster?
Outside of Lancaster. Okay. It's the high desert. It's
there,
not
yeah.
Mojave.
Right.
But you're not far
I know
from
where it is.
You're
yeah.
not far from Edwards Air Force Base and those things. Okay. Yeah, you're about 65, 70 miles northeast of LA. The wind is amazing. You drive through acres upon acres upon acres of turbine windmills.
I don't know. I don't object to that either. But I don't know. Here again, is it subsidized? That's the question. And it's not. Here again, you always have to have a backup, so it doesn't totally negate the need for fossil fuels.
Never,
people realize
never
this.
Will. What they want to do, Armand, as you know this, is they want to get fossil fuels to the point of supplementing the greens as the fallout.
Well, that's the other way around. The greens may supplement fossil
fuels
for the next 50 years.
That is the truth right now until you can get some better economy of scale going, like you were just saying. Otherwise, it's if you have the means to put one on your roof or put it in your yard—
Ironically,
though,
where it would do the most good, as in the Mojave Desert, the environmentalists don't want it there because they're afraid it's going to bake these amphibians or whatever reptiles that are running around the Mojave. So the biggest probably and the cost, I assume, too, but the biggest barrier to this is the environmentalists because they don't want it in the Mojave Desert.
What, the mirrors?
Yeah.
No, put it on the roof of your house.
Fine.
You're not baking any lizard. God.
Well, do without those lizards anyway. Who cares?
Another good scientific event, 1961. The patent for the integrated circuit is granted, and it's granted to Robert Noyce.
Now, I don't know what it really – do you know what it is? I mean, I've
heard
the
term. See
this
little thing sitting in front of me?
Yeah, I know that, but what exactly is an integrated circuit as opposed to a circuit? I don't know. I know what a circuit is.
Mm-hmm.
Because I took physics.
Yes.
But what is an integrated circuit? I guess I'll look it up. I should look it up.
Makes this possible.
See, that's my weakness.
That's
you know
all
me.
I need
right.
to know.
Well, yeah. You know, me and computers.
I know.
For someone as scientifically
gifted as you, for you to be so
stupid.
Anti-computer
I'm not
is
anti.
Confounding.
I'm ignorant. I'm not anti. I just don't know anything about
Why
it.
Why are you so ignorant of computers?
I don't know. I just don't get it. So, and I got E. To always help me out.
Oh, yeah.
Surreal Talk Everett.
You got a guy to bail you out.
Right.
All right.
I have a crutch.
Oh, and by the way, a funeral I would have liked to attended.
Why?
Well, probably a lot of vodka. Yeah. You got it. A lot of vodka. The first sanctioned funeral by the Russian Orthodox Church for a head of state since the funeral of Alexander III. That'd be Tsar Alexander III,
of course,
back in 1894. That occurs for Boris Yeltsin on this date, April 25th. 2007.
Das vidanya, Boris.
Das vidanya, Boris.
All right.
Well done. Boy, Moose and Squirrel were there.
Moose and Sparrow.
They were there to be pallbearers.
Baby, remember what his alias, Babyface Braunschweiger?
Babyface Braunschweiger.
We had some great names in that. That was a funny show.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Babyface.
That show and the fractured fairy tales inside that show.
Natasha.
Oh, God, they were
Natasha,
so good.
Natasha Fatal.
Oh,
all right. Good stuff. Funny stuff.
Man.
All right.
I love that. That was part of my afternoon, sort of.
Oh, I love that stuff. Is that on YouTube? I'm sure I'll watch one today.
Now, I got a question for you as we go to who died on this date.
Yeah.
The 12th Dalai Lama.
I got a couple before him.
He died.
Well, yeah. Even the Dalai Lamas die.
Okay. But can we really say that?
Well, yeah. In our dimension, he's still floating around somewhere, his astral projection.
But he's back.
But he's the 14th Dalai Lama.
No.
This is number 12.
Okay, this is where I get confused about the rules of reincarnation.
You're asking me? I was on the Chinese side. I'm glad they took over Tibet. Keep it. Yeah.
There, I don't have to worry about
there
it.
There you go. So there, that's where I stand.
Son of Frederick.
Wait a minute. I got a couple.
Who do you got?
Well, Anders Celsius. Now, the interesting thing about this, and we all know who he was, and I think we do.
I think we know Celsius.
Okay, I'm going to give you a trivia question. When he invented this scale,
yes.
What was the boiling point of water on the Celsius scale? Who the hell is calling me?
212 degrees.
No.
What was it?
Zero.
Oh, zero was...
Yeah, he made zero boiling and 100 degrees freezing. And it was
that's backwards.
Yeah, it was our old friend Carl Linnaeus, you know, from the guy that did the, species and genus.
Yeah,
sort of thing, the taxonomy.
Right.
Said, hey, dumb shit,
you're going backwards
turn
here.
Turn around.
Yeah, come on. No one's going to understand this.
So,
this isn't
a real
golf.
Genius.
This isn't golf, is it?
Yeah, you had a boiling handicap. Your scratch boiler. So anyway, he turned it around. But I thought that was kind of funny. This guy's such a genius. And then William Cooper, the poet, Celsius died in 1744. Cooper died in 1800. Famous, God moves in a mysterious way, often misquoted. God moves in mysterious ways. That's not the quote. God moves in a mysterious way.
In a mysterious way.
His wonders to perform.
His wonders to perform.
Yeah, so he's a big abolitionist. And another one, variety is the very spice of life.
Oh.
Variety is the very spice of life. Okay.
Okay.
And then, of course, I am monarch of all I survey, which, of course, is attributed to our friend Alexander Selkirk, right? Robinson Crusoe.
Because
I'm monarch of all I survey.
Yeah, because he surveys his island, and he's the only
the
one there.
Friday shows
you need
up.
Your own island.
How many women do I get on there?
72.
Ooh, I don't want virgins, though.
I didn't say anything about that.
I want people with experience.
The great myth of Islamic fundamentalism. You think 72 virgins is a reward?
No, I don't think I'm up to it.
It's a lifetime of hell.
Oof, yeah. Okay, 72 bisexual porn stars. Is okay with me. Women, all women.
God bless. I've got Frederick W. Seward, who passed away in 1915. Now, this is the son of
Seward. Assistant Secretary of State. Imagine
and
that.
He was the Assistant Secretary during the Lincoln administration and Johnson administration. Hmm. So he served 8 years with his father. He saw all of the big stuff.
Well, you know what Kennedy said. I don't mind nepotism as long as it's all kept in the family.
Yeah, yeah. Good quote, JFK.
I think that was JFK, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, if it's
either
not
him or Bobby, one
if it's
or
not,
other.
It should be. 1976, the great film director, English gentleman, Carol Reed, passes away.
Yeah, he was okay, but
come on, he hit it
third man.
So good with The Third Man,
yeah,
you got to give
him
his props.
But they say that Orson Welles really directed that.
Really?
Yeah, figurehead.
Oh.
So I don't know about that one, but
do you like the music from The Third Man?
Yeah, I played on the piano.
Oh, it's great.
It's Anton Karas's little. Anyway, George Sanders committed suicide. One of my favorite actors, 1972, brother of Tom Conway, They both played the Falcon, by the way. George Sanders was the Falcon, and he got sick of it. So they made the Falcon's brother, and they were both in it. And then Tom Conway took over the series. But, yeah, he played the Saint, Simon Templar. And I've read his autobiography, Memoirs of a Professional Cad.
Huh.
Yeah, well, he's always playing a villain.
That's good.
But have you seen All About Eve?
Yeah.
He was the guy that, remember, he was Addison DeWitt, won the Academy Award. He was great.
That's a word you don't hear enough of anymore.
Cad?
I remember I had a Sister Richard, a nun that I had in sixth grade, said the worst thing you can ever call anyone is a cad. And I'm in the back of the room thinking to myself, I don't know. I've heard a couple other things that I think are far worse.
Yeah, I can think of a couple of sobriquets. But anyway, this guy, I love George Sand. He was married to Magda and Zsa Zsa Gabor. Yeah, I think
he got two of the three.
Yeah, I think he got married Magda twice. One of them.
So we had Magda, Zsa Zsa, and who's the other one?
Ava.
Ava.
Okay. So Zsa Zsa just died, of course, and she was like, I don't know, 107.
She really was pretty.
She was beautiful. Yeah. Miss Hungry. Yeah. Anyway, he was married to those two, and he was. I like him in. I like Addison DeWitt, but he was also good in. Remember Village of the Damned with the kids?
Yeah,
he was in that, and he was the one that blowed him up, and.
He is a cad.
Yeah, he was in Black Swan with Tyrone Power. He was really good. Did some swordsman stuff. Black Swan with Tyrone Power. He was in Ivanhoe. Had a good mason chain, although they didn't call it that. Remember that when we asked Robert Taylor, what do you, I
haven't seen Ivanhoe.
Oh, man. It's on. We have it.
Okay.
Yeah, I bear mason chain this day.
I bear mason chain.
They didn't call it that. I think they called it a flail back then, so that's a mistake. It was not called the mason chain. And then Ivanhoe had the battle axe. Great duel.
So I got three more.
Okay.
I got Art Fleming, American game show host, passed away, 1995. Ginger Rogers.
Jeopardy, the original host of Jeopardy.
Yes, the original.
He was a St. Louis guy, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I know he ended up here.
Mm-hmm. 1995, Ginger Rogers.
One of probably my top five actresses. I think her real name, of course, Virginia McMath. Made 10 movies with Fred Astaire.
10?
10 movies.
Dang.
Of course, she did everything. I did everything he did except backwards and in high heels. And apparently her mother, Layla, was quite a handful.
Was she a real stage mom?
She liked to be on the set, and apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it what was the movie where she came out with all these, they called her Feathers, because Mark Sandrich and Fred Astaire, I think, was it Top Hat? One of them, she came out and she had this like ostrich feather dress, and they knew there's going to be feathers flying all over the place. It was Top Hat. And they said, well, you're not wearing that dress. And she walked off the stage or whatever. They got in a fight. And boy, Fred Astaire, somebody said something. And her mother, like a jaguar, came down on those two. They were afraid of her. She came to her little.
Sounds like a Dolly Sinatra type.
Little bear cubs defense. Oh, boy.
You ever heard stories about her?
Who?
Dolly Sinatra?
No, but that's
no.
Some other time.
Okay.
I don't know. She and Layla probably would have.
Yeah.
Now, she apparently, she was married to five times.
Five times.
Yeah. William Marshall was one of them. And I was surprised. One of her husbands, I wrote it down, kind of surprised me.
Did she ever cross over with Elizabeth Taylor?
What do you mean? Oh, no.
In terms of husbands.
No. She, she won her Academy Award for Kitty Foyle, 1940. She was born in Independence.
Missouri?
Yeah, and lived in KC.
Did she know Truman?
No, he's from Lamar, the man from Lamar.
Yeah. But he claims independence.
Yeah. And you remember the Chicago, of course, Best Picture and all. That's based on a movie she made, which is really funny. In fact, I'm going to talk to E about getting this for us.
Okay. What's the name?
Roxy Hart.
Roxy Hart?
Oh, it's great. It's funny.
I remember a busty Hart. She used to come through town ever so often.
Yeah?
You never knew her?
No, but
I'd
like to.
She used to show up at the ballpark, and then security had to be called.
Oh, is that the one?
Yeah, that's the one.
She'd jump out and kiss guys?
No, that's the kissing bandit. Oh, that's Morgana.
Well, what did this gal
and
do?
I'm still to
I
this
like Morgana.
To this day, I think baseball is worse for not having a kissing bandit that could strike at any time. Nonsense.
Yeah, I know. We need
that. That was fun, especially if the player ran from her. As a kid, I thought that was the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, what idiot would run?
I forget the guy who, one of the guys finally just like got down on a knee and embraced her.
You're kidding. I'd bend her over right there.
Oh, stop.
Okay, so anyway, somebody once asked her later on in her career, why did they always call it Fred and Ginger instead of Ginger and Fred?
Yeah, why?
Because it's a man's world.
Oh, gosh.
Right on, Ginger. I think she was dating Hoover.
Herbert?
No, not Hoover. Herbert.
The vacuum cleaner guy?
No, no.
J. Edgar?
J. Edgar.
No!
Hoover. Yeah. Help him put his panties on.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was only to get into her wardrobe.
Hey, watch it.
What?
Tolson did
to
that.
Each his, to each hey, his own.
I bet they had a threesome.
He
with,
wanted
with
to
Tolson.
Wear pink panties and then go fight crime. That's J. Edgar's business. I'm
Superman
not
does it.
I'm not casting aspersions. No, Superman's panties are red.
Well, your panties are in a knot.
Not really.
So move on.
Not really.
Ginger bang.
I got one left. 2002. I thought you would like this one. Lisa Lopes.
Yeah, I love it. Never heard of her.
She's called Left Eye. She's
right.
An American rapper. Pretty good rapper. Anyway. She
is
has
there such a thing?
Yes, there is.
I'd rather listen to Tour and Dodd.
Yes, there is. There's a tremendous rap artist, Armand. I wish you would get on board with. There really is. And what they have to say is incredibly.
Big raspberry for
no,
rap.
No, what they say is incredibly important, and you would
oh,
like
it.
Yes.
Oh.
Not all of it, but if.
Incredible.
Okay. No, it is. Really.
Don't, you know, if you enjoy it, that's great. But you're trying to tell me it's profound or great poetry
yes.
or something? Oh, come on.
No, I'm trying to tell you there is profound rap. Yes, there is.
Okay.
I mean, it deals with the.
Read William Cooper.
Okay. Well, it deals with the human experience, as all art does.
Not my experience.
Okay. You're casting. You come on.
I'm projecting.
Anyway, Lisa became even more infamous.
I'm sublimating.
She had a boyfriend who played for the Atlanta Falcons.
Okay.
They had a tiff.
Yeah.
She burned his mansion down.
Okay. She is all right.
I thought she might like
that. Like Ginger Rogers' mother.
Burned it down.
All right. Let's
to the ground.
Let's burn down this show.
We do. April 25th.
It's only ashes.
It's ashes and dust, folks.
Phoenix-like. It'll rise again tomorrow.
It'll rise again tomorrow on April 26th. Thanks to Brian Kroc and Andrew Allen, our producers. For Armand Kachigian, I'm Tony Hubert. Hey, don't forget, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, any major podcast outlet, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/thisdayinhistorypodcast.com. When April 26th rolls around, we'll be right here to tell you about it on lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.